Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the British English Podcast with me, your caffeinated host, Charlie Baxter, and his co-pilot, Harry Giles. He is here to help me through the Diary of a CEO conversation cards. We've done level one, level two, and now we're getting into level three. We did the previous levels in the last couple of bite-sized episodes, so feel free to listen to them in the last 2 to 4 weeks since this recording or published date. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Hello.
Very well, thank you. I'm ready to penetrate deeper in our conversations to depths never before traveled.
Nice, nice. Okay, well, let's get straight to it then. Yeah, I just picked up a superlative type question, so I'm going to skip that one. Oh, another deepest kind of, gosh. I mean, let's see how this one goes. What is your deepest fear?
I know this one, running out of Oatly. No, I would probably...
What about running out of something else, Harry?
I don't know what you're referring to. He's referring to toilet roll because it happened to me earlier today. Mid-poo. Let's carry on. We're not going to go any deeper into that one.
No, don't need to take a shower after that thought.
So no, I'm worried. A fear that I have, my greatest fear, and I think probably a lot of us share it, is losing my loved ones.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah. My love. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my nearest and dearest passing away. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I don't know
parents,
why I responded in that way.
Dying.
Yeah, I think that shows something about me being quite evil.
Is that not a fear of yours then? No.
If I was to dwell on it, I'm sure it would be. But I don't think about losing my family members very much. I think I do, stupidly, take them for granted, as in not trying to see them, but assuming that they are with me.
Yeah.
I've not lost anyone close to me at the wrong age. They haven't gone too early. Like, my grandparents have passed away, but they lived a good life, all of them. So I've not had that loss and very thankful for it, but I haven't really thought about the fear of losing them much. Do you think about that much?
I do, yeah. Sometimes scared that I'm not ready for it because I'm very close with my parents and stuff. So it is a fear that I have. Yeah, I don't think about it a lot, but you know, when we're sitting around and it's like, oh, this is nice. Like, I just remind myself that, you know, it won't last forever and it will, yeah, one day they won't be there. So it's a good way of being grateful and, you know, not taking those people for granted. But yeah, I think that's definitely my greatest fear, I would say. Yeah. Mm. I am fascinated to learn of yours.
Remember that this episode, just like every single other episode on this show, comes with a free worksheet where you get to see some of the best native expressions that come up in this very episode, along with definitions made for you, a non-native learner. I've even designed it so that you can play the podcast episode on the same page as the free worksheet. It's super user-friendly, so head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com right now and check out the free podcast worksheets, or simply click on the link that says free podcast worksheets in the show notes of this episode. I mean, I can think of some superficial ones, but...
Dropping your phone down a gutter or something? Or?
Yeah. Well, cracking a phone screen is a big fear. Every time I drop my phone, that is the biggest fear in the moment, for sure. It surpasses...
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Family death instantly.
Loved ones dying. Yeah. Yeah. The things we worry about are very often trivial, aren't they? They often mean absolutely nothing.
Speak for yourself, mate. A cracked phone screen is really upsetting. You know what? I think the biggest fear, what is the exact wording? What is your deepest fear? My deepest fear is regretting becoming a parent if I was to be blessed with a child. I don't suppose it would be such a blessing, but
so yeah, making the wrong decisions.
Yeah,
I think that the fear of, you know, the what that is this, yeah, the fear of making the wrong decision about your life. That is good. That yes. is a crippling fear that so many people have, isn't it?
Yes.
And the decision to become a parent is a massive decision
because you can't really undo that.
It's, you can't.
It's
do
a
that.
bit naughty to undo it, especially later in their life.
Okay, like putting your children up for adoption, you mean?
Or... I was just thinking of taking them out to a farm or something. And then, no, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure a farm would be happy to take them off your hands. Yeah, I've got 100 cow, but no humans actually, so I'll take them. Yeah.
Well, they would make good milkers, as in they would milk the cows.
Yeah, or well, they could just go down the supermarket, buy some Oatly.
Sure. Yeah.
Save the cows.
Pick my children out of business drinking that Oatly.
Your unborn children. So yeah, I get that is a deep fear, and I would have the same one if I were in a marriage and we were considering having kids. I'm still not sure if I want to have kids. I look to my brother and I see that it's really hard work and they bring him joy, but also a lot of stress. And I don't know, I'm quite easily stressed and can get quite anxious about things. So the idea of having kids, something you have to worry about all the time, that's a big thing.
If he was put on a lie detector, do you think it would detect anything if they asked him, do you regret having kids? And obviously he'll say no. But do you think there would be any sort of wobble?
I think if he was asked if he regrets having kids, I don't think the pin would wobble and he would say no, because he loves it. I can tell that he loves it.
Yeah.
But if he was asked, I don't know, do you miss, like, you know, being not having kids, then I think that would be difficult for him to answer that,
right.
Those kinds of questions, the freedoms, yes, that single life, or maybe not single life, but you know, not being a parent has. You can do what you like, you can do what you,
yes,
want. You lose that.
Well, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, how long have you been having this? Yeah, that's a big one. Do you think about, how often do you think about that?
Quite often, because we're getting to the point where we need to decide. It's almost now or never. Stacey's 34 now. Yes, she could go. I mean, I've heard of women having healthy children up to the age of, I think, even 50 sometimes. But nowadays, I'd say most people get worried if they're not pregnant by the age of 35. Again, I don't want to send this out as like a piece of information that should affect anyone. But for our situation, we're aware that she's now 34. That's all I'm going to say, because it's quite a sensitive topic, isn't it?
Yeah, so she feels like the clock, you both feel like the clock is ticking and you, need to come up with a decision soon.
Yeah, I'd quite like 5 more years and then we could have a child. I think both of us are not ready, although people say you're never ready. But we feel like we could have 5 more years of being who we are as we know it, and then I'd feel ready. But then again, the downside to that is that you're almost 40 and you've got a little one that you've got to look after. Your energy levels are probably not going to be as good, because when I was 20, I had a bit more spring to my step, a bit more of a spring to my step than being 33 now.
But then you might be better, your situation might be better, or you'd be more willing to put all of your energy into that. So even if you
have
maybe less kind of vitality about you than you did when you were early 30s, you might be more, keen on the idea of being parents.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a hard one. What about adopting? Is that ever anything you would consider?
I'd bloody love to adopt.
Yeah?
I say that not think. No, I do. I have thought about it, and I think we would adopt. Yes, I would. I yeah. think that is a worthy, a very worthy thing to do, and I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
If we weren't able to have our own. I do think the world is overpopulated, but then I've heard other things where demographics are difficult to judge per country, and we're going to be offset, and it's all going to be very complicated. So they're encouraging people to still keep having sexual intercourse for purposes other than pleasure.
Oh, please don't lower the tone. Sexual intercourse, my God. X-rated.
Yeah, because if we've got loads of pensioners, we need some workers, don't we?
True that. True that.
Because we'll be pensioners for ages, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I heard...
People are definitely living longer, aren't they?
I heard that people who are born today are possibly likely to live to 150. They think that 150 is within reason because of the advancement within how to tackle aging cells in the body.
Wow. What about for us?
60. No, about 100 maybe. I mean, some of our grandparents are hitting 100, so why not?
Yeah, you do hear about more and more people that are in their 90s these days. It seems a lot more common for people to be reaching, you know, mid, late 90s.
Yeah. Do you think that means that the telegram that the king or queen sends when they hit 100 to congratulate them? Did you hear about that? That being a thing?
Yeah, you get a letter from the queen, the king, yeah.
Do you think, not the app, the telegram. Do you think the king will continue this if continues to increase in statistics? Like, it's like, okay, you've got one letter to write today, or you've got 10 next week, you've got 1,000 next month.
Yeah, this is getting ridiculous. Let's call it 110. If they make it to 110, then I'll write the letter. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good perfect rule. Yeah, I like that.
Call it 110. Yeah. 100 is mental, though. Not many people make it to 100, do they?
No.
Have you ever known of anyone who has, like, that you kind of know?
I think I know of a couple, not immediate family at all, but yeah, friends of friends, family members. They're a friend of a friend.
Just a friend of a friend. Yeah.
Yeah, my friend's got
my mate's brother.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with a friend being a friend that's 100 plus? That'd be great.
I was just with my mate the other day. He's 106.
Yeah, just enjoying a Guinness with him. Although Guinness, as I've said, it's a healing drink. It healed my tendonitis in my wrist. Maybe it keeps people ticking.
Unbelievable, that. Unbelievable. Yeah. I share that with people.
Do you?
It's great. Was it Guinness or was it the other stout?
It was the other stout
that you had.
Yeah. Inkwell. It was the other stout, so it wasn't Guinness. Yeah. I've got one more that I'm going to squeeze into this that's level 3. What is a personal legacy you want to leave for yourself or your children? See, I don't really think I care about a legacy. Do you?
Would that have to be a physical thing or just like just anything you can pass down, like a value or something you consider really important for your kids to kind of emulate?
Well, I don't think it's like a golf club, if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, because it has to be an amount of money, does it? Things like that?
No. Like it could be a company. It could be...
Okay.
I guess it could be an heirloom, like a piece of jewelry or something. But I was imagining like you've set something up that's more like a business.
I think that's not something I think about. I guess because I'm still not sure if I want to have kids. So it won't be until I know that'll become clear to me. If I want to leave something behind for someone else. But then I guess, you know, I've got my nephew and things like that. But no, to be honest, at the moment, it's not something I've considered. But what about you? Do you think you would one day want to, say, if you were to have kids, would you want to like leave the British English podcast to your kids, or to let, maybe they could be the next hosts, couldn't they?
Yeah, hosted by Charlie Jr.
Charlie Baxter.
I don't know. I don't think so. Because I always see those car dealerships, you know, they say Johnson and Son or something like that. And yeah. I feel sad for the Son because they've had to go into the car dealership world. They've been forced.
Yeah.
They've not had the choice. I want my children, if I was to have children, to have the choice to do whatever they want, as long as it's the British English podcast. Also, it says...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What would you like to leave for yourself slash children? So you can leave it for yourself. So I guess, like, if you are a famous painter, you leave your legacy of art to the public to enjoy and they remember your name, that kind of thing. I mean, you've just started sketching. Would you like to double down on sketching and sell that to a museum?
I don't think it'll ever be of value in that sense, but maybe I'd really like to get to a standard where I can paint nice portraits and then give them to people. I think that would be a nice present to give them. Not necessarily like I'd like to give you a nice painting of Stacey, for example, or your dog.
The thing about portraiture is that it's very easy for the person that knows them really well to tell whether they are quite accurate or not. Like, I think if you've got the nose slightly off, then it's a bit confusing for the receiver.
I know what you mean. But well, I guess, yeah, but getting to a standard where you can objectively say, yeah, that's good. That definitely looks like the person. But also, it says something more about them. That's what it is people love about portraits, isn't it? You're seeing something else in them, like their essence that you somehow express in the art that doesn't come out in a photo.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I've not thought about it.
So I love the idea of just like work, I don't know, like getting really good at it and one day producing something that I would actually want to put on the wall. That'd be nice. And if family members like my nephew could put it on the wall, that'd be a nice thing to leave behind.
Yeah.
I mean, our YouTube videos, they're always going to be there, your podcast like episodes, that's going to be there too. Like, I like the idea that, you know, in 100 years, someone might listen to it and be like, God, those guys were idiots. Or, oh, those guys were funny. Or, oh, that's so useful. And, oh, it's a shame they're dead.
Yeah. Can I get in contact with them? No, they died. About your art, though, sketching, you could paint yourself on the day that we, you know, bury you. We could put a picture that you drew of yourself.
Bury you? I think I'm going to go after you before you.
Definitely.
Over my dead body. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I could put it on my gravestone.
I think that's a good idea. Not on your gravestone. You know, you normally put a photo up of them in the memorial service, during the memorial service, sorry.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
So I could do a eulogy of you stood next to the sketch that you drew.
Yeah, it's a nice idea. My deepest fear is moving on to painting, because sketching seems so much easier. You can be a lot more detailed. It's easier to be more detailed, right? But then you get a paintbrush.
Yeah.
It's just a big floppy thing, isn't it? Like, I'm scared about that. It's my deepest fear.
I can see that. I thought you were going to say my deepest fear is Charlie doing a eulogy for me. But getting the paintbrush.
I think you deliver a lovely eulogy, Charlie. Oh,
thank you.
I'd be very happy for you to deliver my eulogy. Obviously, I hope I'll be delivering yours. But if it has to be the other way around, I'll be more than happy.
Would it be crass to make a bet?
Where would the money go, though?
To my legacy.
Oh, you'd have to leave it in the will.
You'd have to leave it to the legacy. Yeah, I guess so.
That would be funny.
Or no, so the bet is you want to live longer, I want to live longer. So if I win, you died first. So that means I have to pay whoever is in your will. So if you leave everything to your nephew, I have to pay him the wager.
No, I thought the loser of the bet is the one that dies first.
And oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
It'd be written into the will. It'd be written into the will. So it'd be like, if I die first, Charlie Baxter gets 10 grand.
Yes. Oh, lovely. I like
that. That'd be hilarious. It's so wrong.
It's so wrong because then if one of us is really getting desperate financially, we could stoop very low, couldn't we? And sort of push one of them into the road as a busker.
They could, yeah.
Not that I've thought of that ever.
It's a good plot, isn't it?
Yeah. Although London has a lot of CCTV, so we'd have to do it out in the country. But
we'll
cross that bridge when we come to it. I'm not going to place that wager yet, but I am going to say that's the end of the episode. So thank you very much, Harry.
Thank you. Nice talking to you, as per usual. And I hope your listeners have enjoyed it.
Yes. So that was level 3. Do you feel like we reached a level of connection like never before?
Yeah. What was the main question with that one?
What is your deepest fear?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question, I think. It was, definitely the end of the night where, you know, it's dying down a bit and you get into some really serious talk. It was interesting to learn that from you.
Yeah, you do kind of need a pick-me-up, don't you? Like, it needs a level...
After that.
Or like a level minus one or a silly level. Level silly.
Yeah, just like... Something to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
Like the funny trivial news after a really horrible earthquake story or something. Yeah, they always do that on the news, don't they? There's like really depressing stories about horrible things that are going on in the world. And then they'll put in something kind of trivial.
To
lighten the impact of previous
stories. That why they do it? I thought it was just the big ones go first. What do they say? If it bleeds, it leads.
I'm sure that is the case. I think there will definitely be a part of it that's like, come on, all right, we need to give some good news or something. You gotta kind of temper it in a way.
I rarely hear good news on the news, but yeah, fair enough.
No, there normally is. There normally is something that's a bit more positive. Can't all be doom and gloom, can it? Plenty of good things going on in the world as well, so we should celebrate.
There is, but I'm saying that on the main news, I don't hear those positive stories. Do you?
No, it's probably because you give up because it's also depressing. That's what I do. I just stop. But if you do persist, usually when it gets to like the local news, there's some more kind of positive stuff. Although I rarely watch the news because I find it too depressing.
Yeah, so the last one goes local to Bedford, and what is an example? A man is found able to communicate with a swan in Bedford River. What's the river called?
River Ouse.
River Ouse.
Yeah.
Yes. He trained a swan
that'd be a nice
to
story.
Batter a kid.
Exactly. That'd be good news.
And that's good all the news we have time for. I've been Trevor McDonald. You've been the best.
Excellent. Absolutely marvelous, Charlie.
All right. Thank you very much, Harry. Really appreciate all three bite-sized episodes of The Diary of a CEO Conversation Cards. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the end of this one. Well done. And we will see you again soon on the British English Podcast. Bye-bye, Harry.
Bye-bye. Thanks, mate.